I desire your prayers this morning. What I have to share with you is just some of the Lord's dealings with me in my life. A few weeks ago, the Lord started dealing with me about a subject, about accepting responsibility. And so I felt I knew the direction that it would go. Because there is a need. You know, we heard this morning about Brother Ed, his illness. And even just places in the church that need people to be willing to say, I'll do my part. So I thought that's the direction of this. And then the Lord stopped me and said, there's another part that I need you to look at before you go to that part. And now I understand why. So this morning I would like to share with you both parts, if possible. Accepting responsibility. Before I ever am able to accept responsibility for needs there are in the church, I have to come to the place that I accept responsibility about who I am before the Lord. Because you know what? The Lord would like to make changes in every one of us. There are things about each of us that He would like to adjust, that we would be able to be more like Him. And maybe then be able to better take responsibility for needs there are in the church. I'd like to start with a couple verses. In Proverbs, the 20th chapter, and in the 6th verse, most men will proclaim everyone his goodness, but a faithful man, who can find? You know, all of us would like for people to see my good points. I would rather you didn't see my weaknesses. Most people, most men will proclaim every man his own goodness. I'd like to look at another verse, 21st chapter, and the 2nd verse, because this can be our hang-up. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. The Lord ponders the heart. You know, I can justify my actions to men, but God sees the reason that I did it. And I want to give you a little example. A few years ago at work, we have every day, I do maintenance work at a high-rise building in Oklahoma City. And every morning, the person that comes in early does a walkthrough of both buildings. And it's checking all the mechanical equipment, even though we can see it on the computer. It's to go there and make sure the belts are okay, to just put your eyes on it. And there's one thing on that checklist that we have to check off. And we have a parking garage under the building. And several years ago, the main power that comes from OG&E and feeds those buildings comes in a bus duct. Because it draws 3,000 amps, they don't run it in wires, they run it in plates. And there had been an expansion joint from the outside over the parking garage that leaked one day in a rain, and that bus duct exploded. So they had to repair it, and since that time, every day, someone's job is to walk by that and check it off. It doesn't matter if it's sunshine or rain or whatever, because that expansion joint could need repair again. One day, I was that person, and I walked by, and it was barely raining outside, and I saw it drip. And I thought, okay, I need to take care of this. But I went on the rest of my walkthrough, and I completely forgot about it. Until 2 days later, I came into the building and it was pouring down rain outside, and I remembered then. So I headed back to that spot and looked at it, and it was running in on top of the very piece that had blown up before. So I called my boss. He had the numbers for the people that would make the repair. They came out, repaired it before we had damage to it. And my boss told me, he's standing there, the repair's done, the contractor is leaving, has left. And my boss looked at me and he said, I want to tell you something. He said, I really appreciate how you watch out for this building. You are all the time right on it. You take care of this building to where we don't have any problems. And you know what I said to him? Nothing. I took it. And I didn't say anything because I liked what he said. But you know what? He turned and started walking back toward his office. I don't think he'd gone 10 feet till the Lord said, you can't leave that like that. Accepting responsibility. You know, sometimes we can think these are very small things. But you know what? The Lord wants to nip them while they are small. So I went back, followed him to his office, and I said, hey, I need to tell you the rest of the story. It's not quite like what you saw there. I saw that 2 days ago, and I forgot all about it, and I just saw it again today. You know, that's kind of humiliating. But what it was good for me for is, folks, there's places that we can get into from a child. Mom and Dad have taught me, do not lie. You will have to clear it up before you get out of here. But you know what we can learn to do, I can learn to do, is tell the truth in a way that it misleads people. You know, I could have misled him just with that, and I never said a word. I just left it like it was. And I realized a couple days later why it was important for the Lord to deal with me about speaking the truth in my heart. Because a couple days later from that, after that, we take care of the painting in our mechanical rooms and everything. And the elevator company for that building came to me and said, what paint do you use? We want to do it in our elevator chases at the bottom of the elevator. So I gave it to him, and it was an oil-based paint. It's a strong smell paint. Gave it to him, and they painted the bottoms and underneath the elevators, and they closed the door. And to most people, it would not have bothered much except just the smell. But there was a woman that worked for a law firm, and when she got in the elevator, she commented to somebody, said, oh, I can't stand this smell. Something is, it is bad. And when she stepped out of the elevator on the ground floor and stepped outside, she collapsed. And she died that night. And now she had a couple children. You know, in her life, we can have little things to take care of. And it seems like it's so small, why worry about it? But what it's doing is it's preparing us for the next one that can be bigger. If ever I want to cover for myself now, it's when she has died and we're going to be called into court. And from that, there was a lawsuit. They sued the paint company, they sued the elevator company, and they sued us. But you know what I could do? I could plainly tell them, this is the part that I played in it, and now y'all judge what needs to be done. Accepting responsibilities. The first place I need to learn to do it is when God deals with me in places in my life. Because I can do the same thing in dealing with God. And I've got some examples. You know, we need to remember that God is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of my heart. He knows why I said, why I did not say, what the direction I was wanting that to lead to. Accepting responsibility. Here's a verse that will help me. I need to always remember it. It's in Ecclesiastes, the very last verse, 13th verse of the 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. You know what? The fear of God will help me to accept responsibility about who I am, because I realize God really knows who I am anyhow. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And I find there are examples for me to profit from throughout the Bible. And they begin with Adam and Eve. People that failed to take responsibility for their actions. And I was reading there in the third chapter of Genesis, when God came to, He didn't go to Eve first. He came to Adam. And He asked Adam a simple question. Did you eat of that tree? He just needed a yes or no answer. And what was the answer that he got? It was that woman that you gave me. You know, God wasn't asking him who else was with him. And I find myself sometimes, Cheryl sometimes wants just a yes or no answer. And by the time I get through with it, she still just needs to know yes or no. Did I go do this or did I not? And I'm explaining all this thing around. It's like it's a human tendency for us to do. And Adam tried it. Lord, it's even, you're partially to blame for me doing it. You were the one that gave me this woman. it kind of gives you that little thought a little bit, the way he presented it to God. So then God goes to Eve, and she's got the same problem. Eve, why did you do it? It was that serpent. It's somebody else. You know, that is a tendency for me today. When the Lord comes to me, you got a change that you need to make in your life. I can say, but the problem is because of somebody else. There is a song that we have sung before. Here's where I need to be. It's not my brother. It's not my sister. But it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. This, I believe, is a very important tool that the devil would love to use on all of us. He used it so often in the past. It was passed down from Adam and Eve to their son, Cain. There is a warning that the Lord has given me about some of these stories. Sometimes I wish there was more information given about a story. And because there's not, sometimes I will fill in the blank. I think it must have been this way. When we read in the 4th chapter of Genesis the story of Cain and Abel, all it tells me is Cain offered a sacrifice that was not accepted. We do not read in the 3 chapters before that God gave a commandment of what needed to, how it should be done. All I read is Cain's sacrifice was not accepted. And the Lord told Cain, if you do well, you'll be accepted. But if you don't do well, sin lays at your door. I wish there was a lot more information given. There's not. But there is enough for me to profit by. There are things that cause my life to be acceptable to the Lord. And there are some things that cause it not to be acceptable. Did Cain take responsibility? Did Cain say, Lord, I want my sacrifice to be acceptable. Show me what I need to do. Instead, something came up in Cain. A hatred for his brother. Rose up and killed him. This verse in Ecclesiastes is real important for us. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Cain did not have the fear of God. I don't have to read that he didn't. I see it that he didn't. When God came before Cain and said, where is your brother Abel? And in my words, he said, I don't know. I'm not his brother's keeper. Am I his brother's keeper, my brother's keeper? To God who knows everything. You know what? If I will remember what this verse is telling me, God's going to bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. I need that to adjust my life. I'm dealing with God. But Cain was able to stand before God and think God was going to let it go. But you know, there's another example. I was thinking about Aaron, Moses' brother. You know, Aaron had a close contact with God because at Mount Sinai, God told Moses, go down and get Aaron and bring him up with you. He's going to have a part, be a part of this for a little bit. To the point that the people that were looking on were so afraid that they would die, they said, y'all talk to God. We don't want to be this close. There was a fear of God on the people. But somehow Aaron lost the fear of God himself. To the point that when Moses was gone for a long period of time, longer than they had expected, Aaron tells them, give me your gold. And he fashioned a golden calf for them to be able to worship. When Moses came down and talked to Aaron about it, did Aaron say, I am sorry, I did the wrong thing, I should not have done it? He did the same thing we've been reading about up until now. You know these people, their hearts just set on them to do wrong. And anyhow, what I did was we took the gold and we put it in the fire, and this calf came out. Now, you know, that was the truth. The calf did come out. But there were some other things that was involved in it. So it was almost like he's telling me, I'm not to fault. It just happened to be. It just happened. I start seeing these kind of things, and I say, Lord, I read those as stories. I heard them when I was a child for Bible stories. Is it telling me that there's a tendency to human nature that I need to guard against? Because I see it again with King Saul. You know, God was the one that appointed Saul to be king. And for a while, Saul had God's blessing on his life. And then he was called to go and destroy all of the Amalekites. And he almost did it. But he saved a few things. You know, human reasoning, there's a verse that tells us, Proverbs 3 and 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. Saul looked at that situation and said, felt like this will be the right way to do it. I brought back the king, killed everything else, but I brought back the king, and I brought back some real nice animals to sacrifice to the Lord. And when he was brought down by Samuel to where he had to face it, he did the same thing that these others that we've talked about. It was the people that did it. The people are the ones that wanted to do this. You know, so easily I can justify myself because of the people around me. If this person treated me better, I would be able to serve the Lord better. But you know, it's going to be real important for me to accept responsibility for my actions. I think about King David with the sin that he committed with Bathsheba. And as sin will do, it progresses so fast, I just can hardly believe that he expected it to go to the lengths that it went. When I looked at that story and saw Uriah, a noble man, come back from the battle, and you know, Uriah ended up taking his death letter with him. And Uriah was such an honorable man that he didn't sit under a tree somewhere and say, I just wonder what the king has to say to the captain. I think I'd like to read his letter. He took the letter and gave it to the captain. And in that letter, David is saying, really, in my words, I need to get rid of this man. Take him to the front of the battle where he's not accustomed to being, and then retreat and let him be killed because of his wife here. And that was done. You know, David went far into sin. But one day, the prophet Nathan came to David and he met up with him. Is David going to accept responsibility or is he going to continue in a direction? And Nathan told him the story about the little lamb. And when David's anger was so riled up about it, Nathan just stopped all that by saying, David, you're the man. You are the one. And you know, at that time, something happened to David that I wish would have happened many days before that, but it didn't. But I'm glad it did when it did. Because there are times in our life when a window will open. A window for me to accept responsibility for my actions. And what I do with that window is very important. That window opened a little bit for David. Gave him opportunity to say, I'm sorry, I repent. And we get to read his prayer in Psalms. I acknowledge my transgression. My sin is ever before me. David accepted responsibility for his actions. There are people that accepted responsibility, but it was too late. I thought of the story of Jericho. When Joshua is given the command of what to do about it, no one is to take anything for yourself. But you know, there's a lot of people in that battle. And Achan decided to save a little bit for himself. And no one had seen it. But you know what? God's blessing ended for the children of Israel until that was taken care of. And it's amazing to me to see how that was taken care of. God could have easily, you remember when Joshua is on his face on the ground because they have lost the next battle, one of the skirmishes of the next battle with Ai, and Joshua is wondering what is going to happen to us now. And God says, quit your crying, get up. Israel has sinned. And you know how he did it to find the person? There's 12 tribes. There's thousands of people. Pick a tribe. God caused him to pick the tribe that Achan was from. I wonder at what point in that Achan's heart started thumping. Because you know what? It's coming closer. It went from the tribe. It came on down to the family, and then it picked his father, and then it picked him. And they just told him, said, tell me, what have you done? You know, at that point, he accepted responsibility. I did it. It's in my tent there. But it's too late. He died. Everything that he owned died. Maybe his family did not even know. You know, this is where we start supposing. But his family had to die with him. Folks, there are things that we can have in our life that we go for a while of not taking responsibility, and our children will suffer because of it.
Right.
There are verses to remind me this isn't all of it. One of these days, we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of God. You know, we have knowledge of that. The devil would like for us to forget it in our actions, in the things that come to us, and I'm not talking about sin. We can have things happen just like, you remember, I think it's Nathaniel, a man in whom is no guile. The things he says, they don't take you in a wrong direction. The things I say, you can believe it. And I'll just give you this little example here. It doesn't have to be about sin. It can be about me learning to mislead with my words. For a long time, I am on and off of dieting. And Cheryl would help me with it. You know, okay, you want to do it? I'll be your coach. I'll help you out with it. So to do that, you know, you check with them at the end of the day. Okay, what'd you eat today? What did you have? Well, you know what? I get tired of salad real quick. And so I ate the things that you do on a diet. I ate the salad, but I also ate a pack of donuts. And so when I got home that evening, and I give the inventory, I told about the salad, and I did eat a salad. That was the truth. And then that's just all I told. I didn't go into any more details, just kept it short. Well, what did that do? I told the truth. It was the truth. But I just held back a little bit about it. You know, Ananias and Sapphira, I've often wondered, maybe they were just people in a congregation like this, and other people are selling their land, and they say, we want to be a part in this. But I'm not 100%. We sold our land, but we don't want to give all of it. So together we come up with this agreement that we will say that it was sold for a certain amount, which was not what we sold it for. It would be a lie. You know, there was a window of opportunity for them to take care of that. They could have been convicted on the way to the church service that morning and said, what are we thinking? Ecclesiastes said God knows everything and he's going to bring it into judgment. Stop. Let's go back home and take care of this thing. You know, they could have just repented before the Lord and said, Lord, I'm sorry that we even allowed that thought to come in and be entertained to the point that we agreed on a price. You know what? It would have been just that easy for them to take care of it and accept responsibility. At that point, they didn't need to tell anybody about it. And when they got there and Peter said, did you sell this for so much? Now it's coming down closer. The window is closing. He didn't even say that to Ananias. He said, Satan has filled your heart. And Ananias fell over dead. He said, while it was your own, you could have done what you wanted to with it. Accepting responsibility for my actions. Now Ananias is dead. And it says 3 hours later, his wife comes. Now it looks like somebody would have found her somewhere and said, do you know what happened to your husband? But it didn't happen. She came later. You know, there's a window of opportunity to accept responsibility, and there's times when that window will close. She came in, and it was asked her one question. Did you sell this for this much? And she said, yes, and fell over dead. We live in a time of mercy today, but you know what? It's very important for me to accept responsibility for my actions. We're not talking about sin a lot of times. But it's a direction that I start to head that the Lord would like to make changes about me. Yes, we often read the story about the scribes and the Pharisees that brought the woman that was caught in the act of adultery. And we read about Jesus with his finger writing something in the ground, and it does not tell us what. So I cannot tell you what it said, but what I can tell you is something brought conviction. It said those men were convicted in their own hearts. You know, they had a window of opportunity themselves to be able to say, wow, I'm just now realizing that, yes, she's got a sin that she's responsible for, but there's something in my life also. But it said they went away one at a time, from the least to the, from the eldest to the least, all of them left out. We, each one, will have to deal with accepting responsibility. And it can be so mild that I say it's not even something to deal with. But the Lord wants to help us with it. Sometimes the Lord wants to bring something to me about who I am, and I have not even had trouble with it yet. That happened with Peter. Jesus came to him and said, Satan hath desired to have you so that he can sift you like wheat. But I prayed for you. And Peter, looking inside, doing his own inventory, was like, Lord, you've missed it. I'm willing to die for you. And it took Peter failing, and then he realized, and then he went out and he wept bitterly. I am so glad he did. But there are times that the Lord would like to warn me ahead of time. Dan, you're headed in this direction. Check yourself here, because you can have problems in an area. So there is a prayer that I can pray. It's in Psalms. Because, you know, really, it's not in man that walketh to direct his own paths. So here's a prayer that I need to be praying. It's in Psalms 139 and 23. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. So I desire that the Lord would search my life on a continual basis to show me places so I can be responsible for my actions. So once I have done that, now for a few minutes I'd like to talk to you about a more positive note. Because you know what, when the Lord brings me to a place, and I realize this in my own life, there were some things that I had to take care of about who I was before I could ever even be willing to accept responsibility in the church. There were times when, as a trustee in Guthrie, I don't know why they put the thermostats in the front of the chapel, but somebody on the busiest service at Monarch, at Guthrie, would come and tap me on the shoulder and say, it is too hot in here. And I knew it was too hot. It felt too hot to me. Would you go adjust the thermostat? I said, yep, I'll get it right after service. I'll go adjust that, because I'm not getting up in front of anybody. That's who I was. And the Lord had to work with that. And I'm not saying it's a whole lot easier now. But to come to a place that I could say, okay, Lord, here's what I have. By your help, I'm taking responsibility about the places in my life and drawing closer to you. And now I want to be willing, if there is anything you need me to do, I want to be willing. There is a verse that says, when I was a child, I acted like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. You know, when I was a child, if I could get a couple dollars, it was either going for candy or a toy. Do you know what? Some people, when they become a man, it still is like that. It's just the toys are bigger. It's now a sports car or something. But you know, when I got older, I've got a family now, and I've got some responsibilities that I need to accept, that I agreed to when I said at the altar when I married her that I would take care of her. And now I accept responsibility. You know, it is the same way for us in the church. Because I can be so shy, so backward, that I say, and I said it for many, many years, I can't do it. Somebody else can do it better. I remember when I was in high school, it was so hard for me to just get up and testify in front of people at the chapel. And mom and dad said, okay, you have got to go to a speech class. A speech class, that kind of speech class was where they made you get up in front of people. It was terrible. The only reason that I can see that I didn't go there 2 years instead of one was she did not want to see me. That teacher did not want to see me again the next year. She just got me out of the class because I could not stand to be in front of people. You know what? I can live my whole life that way. Because when I got married, I felt it a need. I want to make sure that my family is in service every time possible. So I was a very good seat warmer. I'm there, and I feel like that's what I'm to do. To the point that maybe when there's a long pause, now it's prayer time, we've been given these requests to turn in, and it's time for somebody to just tell the Lord about them. And I say, not me. It's going to have to be somebody else. You know, I'm not talking about big things. It's about things that just, I'm willing, Lord, if that's what you want. Yes, I'd like to look at a verse in Matthew 25:25-15. It's talking about the man that delivered to his servants his goods. And in the 15th verse, he gave 5 talents to one, 2 talents to another, and to another he gave 1. And I'm glad this verse explains why he did it. It wasn't that the one he gave 5 talents to was his best friend, and so he's going to give him more money. It says, to every man according to his several ability, and he took his journey. You know what? The Lord wants to do the same with each of us today. There is something that I can do. It may be the 1 talent. And I want to tell you, when I have the 1 talent, the easiest thing for me to do with it is the same thing this man did. The one with the 5, he's out there getting it. He can do it so much better. I'm going to just go bury mine. When the Lord would have given him the same reward to just go turn 1 more talent. To me, as I'm looking at this today, I spent many years saying, can't do it. Somebody else can do it better. And you know what? I still say it today. Somebody can do it better. But you know what? Time's passing. I don't have a whole lot of years left. And I've had the Lord ask me, how long would you not be willing to be one of those that is willing to pray? You know, many times I can look at it, there's somebody else that can word it so much better. They can remember all the requests. They can do it so well. So I won't do it. But you know, it said Abraham was a friend to God. I think it would be good. I want to do it myself to say, you know what? This is a relationship that I have with the Lord. I can talk to him when I'm driving down the road. I can talk to him while I'm at work. I can give him my request. I can talk to him as a friend does to a friend. What makes it different when I'm in a church service? Why can't I just be able to say, Lord, there's just some more people going to be listening to me than when I was in the car with you. But maybe it will even help them to say, you know, I could do it better than that. I would be willing to help. But you know what? This is not about competition anyhow. This is about a time when I get to bring to the Lord the requests of different people. And you know, I don't see this as a chastisement from the Lord. What I see the Lord telling me is, hey, all you got to do, I gave you 1 talent. Just go out and do what you can with that 1 talent. Don't bury it. And you know what? I've heard times when maybe someone prays and they give all the requests they can remember, and they stop and somebody else prays, starts praying and giving some others. And I think, oh, that would be so embarrassing if they came behind me having to add some others. Until I realize, wait a minute, what are we doing? This is just a time of bringing the requests to the Lord. So if 3 people have to pick them all up and hand them to him, don't worry about it. I did the best I could with the 1 talent that I have. Wednesday night comes, and it's testimony service, and I'm so scared to get up and say anything. You know, it's okay to have the 1 talent and just say, you know what, I find out it doesn't have to be a near car accident for me to be willing to say, Lord, I have something to be thankful for. In this day and time, if I can stay saved from Wednesday to Wednesday, I have something to be thankful for. It was the grace of God that helped me to be able to do it. There is then a verse in the 6th chapter of John. I like to use this verse for myself. There was a big job that needed to be done. It was more than just what the disciples all together could have done. It was time to feed all the people. In the 6th chapter, and in the 5th verse, he's asking Philip, "When shall we buy bread that these may eat?" This he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. And one of the disciples in the 8th verse, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith to him, "There's a lad here, hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. What are they among so many?" You know, I can do that with what I have. Lord, this would hardly make a difference. If you pulled out these barley loaves, 5 of them and 2 fishes, and there's thousands of people. Next verse says there's 5,000 people, and you're going to pull out this little snack here. What are you going to do with it? You know what I need? Is just make sure the Lord's with me, and He will take care of the rest. He does not require that I do the whole thing myself. What He requires is for me to be willing. Brother Larry Abbott passed away a few weeks ago, and there was something that I would hear him often in his messages saying, God is not looking for our ability. He's looking for our availability. That I am willing, Lord, here am I. If you need somebody, send me. Sister Rich recently was telling us, God usually will not call us to our strong points, but to our weaknesses. How many ministers have said, I am so scared to get up here? I was thinking about Paul. When he came and gave his heart to the Lord, you know, he had a lot of attributes. But he said, those things that were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. There were some things that he had to just give up and start over again for God. For me, I want to be willing. I want to be a vessel that says, Lord, I know I'm just one talent. Can't do very much, but I'm willing. When I come to service and there's a lull and nobody's praying, Lord, I'm willing. And you know what I found out has to be done? I got to be listening to the request. Have you ever knelt down and said, my mind was going somewhere else? And if I prayed, I couldn't even remember the people that gave in a request. But what I want to encourage you, because I'm trying to work it myself, is that I say, Lord, I got this little bit of fish. I got this little bit of bread. What can I do to help you? You know, I appreciate times just in our regular services. In Oklahoma City, we're a very small group. And you know what? Then it makes a difference for people to be ready. And it has been an encouragement to me to hear the young people, time to pray, I can pray, I'll pray. For us to just say, you know what, this is just an opportunity for me to give one talent to the Lord. Whatsoever your hands find to do, do it with your might. Put everything into it. I want to close with one more verse. In Isaiah, because I look at this verse, and for many years I gave a different answer. In Isaiah, the 6th chapter, and in the 8th verse, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall we send, and who will go for us? And for the majority of my life, I said, send somebody else. Somebody else can do it better than I can. And you know what? It took some working for Isaiah to come to the place where he did this. But at this verse, it says, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And I said, here am I. Send me. You know, the only time I will be able to do that, if I have taken responsibility in the times where God has dealt with me in my life. And then, again, it's a chore again, but to be willing to take responsibility in the church services or just anything, whatever your hands find to do. Almost everything I can say, but somebody can do it better. That's true. But let me do my little part and maybe they can finish it off. Maybe they can top it out. Because I want to tell you, there's a blessing. I don't think they had to chase that little boy down and take his lunch away from him. I think he was just willing to give it. Not much here. I thought it was just going to be for lunch for me. But here, you can have this. and what it was able to do when it was given to the Lord. There's a song that I'd like to close with. It says, in the harvest field now ripen, there's a work for all to do. Hark, the Master's voice is calling to the harvest, calling you. And you know what? Sometimes we can think, that's some big, big job right there, big chore. But it's just me living the life every day. Does the place that you're called to labor seem so small and little known? It's great if God is in it, and He will not forget His own. When the conflict here is ended and our race on earth is run, He will say, if we are faithful, welcome home, my child, well done. He would give the same reward to the one talent as He gave to the five talent, if the one with the one talent is faithful with what the Lord has given me. The chorus says, little is much if God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown, and you may win it if you will go in Jesus' name. So I am thankful for the Lord dealing with me about the two parts. Because for me to be able to accept responsibility on the religious side, I've got to accept responsibility first in my life. Because it is a preparation. I desire your prayers. May we each be faithful. Because I want to tell you, there's a whole lot more of us that feel like we're in the one talent category than it is somebody that says, I wish I had 10. I could go do 10 easy. It's so easy for us to say, well, because someone else can do it better, I'll just let them. But I want to say, Lord, here I am. Send me if there's something I can do for you. I desire your prayers.